this is Dune Reads Goosebumps, episode 8, part 2 of Say Cheese and Die by R.L. Stine. There's been quite a break in the recording. This is actually recorded on April 5th, 2010. I lost my hosting Sam skills. The one who read Monster Blood was hosting my stuff and apparently doesn't have that server anymore, and I can't host it. And there's a couple of copyright issues because making your own audio, I don't know. Point is, I can't just pay for hosting because I don't want to get shut down, but I don't really know what to do. And then I was going to get hosted on lag, la.gg, but they've been denial of service attacked since the last one. It's just a clusterfuck. Like, I've moved since then. You know, I'm now recording this in the barrio. Still drinking Night Train, but, you know, no big deal. Point is, the story, this is where I normally give, like, a recap, tell you what's been going on, what the kids have been up to, but I don't feel like going to Wikipedia, and I have no idea. I know there's a camera, I think, and the camera makes people die, or people die when they use the camera on... You know, no, I'm going to keep up doing Reed's Goosebumps. You know, like, it seemed pointless before that I was recording these and putting the hours of time and effort into it for three people to listen. But dear God, now that I don't have hosting, the pointlessness is through the roof. It is, oh God, what am I doing with my life? Chapter 17, that's what I'm doing with my life. Oh, and I've been sick. How's it going, bird? Greg called, making his way across the flagstone patio to Sherry's backyard. I'm feeling okay, Bird said, slapping his friend a high five. The only problem is, ever since that ball hit me, Bird continued, frowning, from time to time I start pluck, cluck, clucking like a chicken. He flapped his arms and started strutting across the backyard, clucking at the top of his voice. Hey, Bird, go lay an egg, someone yelled, and everyone laughed. Bird's at it again, Michael said, shaking his head. He gave Greg a friendly punch to the shoulder. Michael, his red hair unbrushed as usual, was wearing faded jeans and a flowered Hawaiian sport shirt about 3 sizes too big for him. Where'd you get that shirt? Greg asked, holding Michael at arm's length by the shoulder to admire it. In a cereal box, Bird chimed in, still flapping his arms. My grandmother gave it to me, Michael said, frowning. He made it in home ec, Bird interrupted. One joke was never enough with that fucker. But why did you wear it? Greg asked. Michael shrugged. Everything else is dirty. Bird bent down, picked up a small clump of dirt from the lawn, and rubbed it on the back of Michael's shirt. Now this one's dirty, too, he declared. Hey, you... Michael reacted with playful anger, grabbing Bird and shoving him into the hedge. Did you bring it? Hearing Sherry's voice, Greg turned toward the house and saw her jogging across the patio in his direction. Her black hair was pulled back in a single braid, and she had an oversized, silky yellow top that came down over her black spandex leggings. Did you bring it? She repeated eagerly. A charm bracelet filled with tiny silver charms, a birthday present, jangled at her wrist. Yeah, Greg reluctantly held up the camera. Excellent, she declared. I really don't want... Greg started. You can take my picture first since it's my birthday, Sherry interrupted. Here, how's this? She struck a sophisticated pose, leaning against a tree with her hand behind her head. Greg obediently raised the camera. Are you sure you want me to do this, Sherry? Yeah, come on. I want to take everyone's picture. But it'll probably come out weird, Greg protested. I know, Sherry replied impatiently, holding her pose. That's the fun of it. But Sherry, Michael puked on his shirt, he heard Bird telling someone near the hedge. I did not, Michael said, screaming. You mean it looks like that naturally? Bird asked. Greg could hear a lot of ruckus laughing, all of it at Michael's expense. Will you take the picture? Sherry cried, holding on to the slender trunk of the tree. Greg pointed the lens at her and pressed the button. The camera whirred and the undeveloped white square rolled out. Hey, Are we the only boys invited? Michael asked, stepping up to Sherry. Yeah, just you three, Sherry said, and nine girls. Oh, fuck yeah. Gonna do some sexual intercourse. Sex on the dogs. Sexual pregnancy. Oh, wow, Michael made a face. Take Michael's picture next, Sherry told Greg. No way, Michael replied quickly, raising his hands as if to shield himself and backing away. The last time you took my picture with that thing, I fell down the stairs. Trying to get away, Michael backed right into Nina Blank, one of Sherry's friends. She reacted with a squeal of surprise, then gave him a playful shove, and he kept right on backing away. Michael, come on, it's my party, Sherry cried. What are we going to do? Is this it? Nina demanded from halfway across the yard. I thought we'd take everyone's picture and then play a game or something, Sherry told her. A game, Bird chimed in. You mean like, spin the bottle? A few kids laughed. Truth or dare, Nina suggested. Yeah, truth or dare, a couple of other girls called in agreement. Oh no, Greg groaned quietly to himself. Truth or dare meant a lot of kissing and awkward, embarrassing stunts. Like with a time when he had to go to Bird and lick where he pooped. And it was nine girls and only three boys. It was going to be really embarrassing. How could Sherry do this to us, he wondered. Well, did it come out? Sherry asked, grabbing his arm. Let me see. Greg was so upset about having to play Truth or Dare, he had forgotten about the snapshot developing in his hand. He held it up, and they both examined it. Where am I? Sherry asked in surprise. What were you aiming at? You missed me. Huh? Greg stared at the snapshot. There was the tree, but no Sherry. Weird. I pointed it right at you. I lined it up very carefully, he protested. Well, you missed me. I'm not in the shot, Sherry replied disgustedly. But Sherry... I mean, come on, I'm not invisible, Greg. I'm not a vampire like Edward or something. I can see my reflection in mirrors, and I do usually show up in photos. But look, Greg stared hard at the photograph. There's the tree you were leaning against. You can see the tree trunk clearly, and there's the spot where you were standing. But where am I? Sherry demanded, jangling her charm bracelet noisily. Never mind. She grabbed the snapshot from it and tossed it in the grass. Take another one, quick. That's such not a never mind moment, Sherry. Dear God. Oh, well. Well, okay, but... Greg was still puzzled over the photo. Why hadn't Sherry shown up in it? He bent down and picked it up and shoved it in his pocket. Stand closer this time, she instructed. Greg moved a few steps closer, carefully centering Sherry in the viewfinder and snapped a picture. A square of film zipped out the front. Sherry walked over and pulled the picture from the camera. This one better turn out, she said, staring hard at it. As the colors began to darken and take form. If you really want pictures of everyone, we should get another camera, Greg said. His eyes had also locked in the snapshot. Hey, I don't believe it, Sherry cried. Again, she was invisible. The tree photographed clearly, in perfect focus. But Sherry was nowhere to be seen. You are right, the dumb camera is broken, she said disgustedly, handing the photo to Greg. Forget it. She turned away from him and called to the others. Hey, guys, truth or dare? There were some cheers and some groans. Sherry headed them back to the woods behind her backyard to play. Creepy. More privacy, she explained. There was a circular clearing just beyond the trees, a perfect private place. The game was just as embarrassing as Greg as it had imagined. Among the boys, only Bird seemed to be enjoying it. Bird loves dumb stuff like this, Greg thought, with some envy. Luckily, after a little more than a half an hour, he heard Miss Walker, Sherry's mom, calling from the house, summoning them back to cut the birthday cake. She's the most irresponsible mother in the world. She just leaves them to... You know, I'm a much better parent to Franklin. Anyway, too bad, Greg said sarcastically, just when the game was getting good. We have to get out of the woods anyway, Byrne said, grinning. Michael's shirt is scaring the squirrels. Laughing and talking about the game, the kids made their way back to the patio where the pink and white birthday cake, candles all lit, was waiting on the round umbrella table. I must be a pretty bad mom, Miss Walker joked, but you know, a lot of truth is in jest, Miss Walker, just believe you me, allowing you to go off in the woods by yourselves. Some of the girls laughed. Cake knife in hand, Miss Walker looked around. Where's Sherry? Everyone turned their eyes to search the backyard. She was with us in the woods, Nina told Miss Walker, just a minute ago. Hey, Sherry, Bird called, cupping his hands to his mouth as a megaphone. Earth calling Sherry.
Earth to Brint.
Zoolander. Anyway, it's cake time. No reply. No sign of her. Did she go in the house? Greg asked. Miss Walker shook her head. No, she didn't come by the patio. Is she still in the woods? I'll go check, Bird told her. Calling Sherry's name, he ran to the edge of the trees at the backyard. Then he disappeared into the trees, still calling. A few minutes later, Bird emerged, signaling to others with a shrug. No sign of her. They searched the house, the front yard, the woods again. But Sherry had vanished.
Chapter 18, I'm only dancing. She turns me on.
Greg sat in the shade with his back against the tree trunk, the camera on the ground at his side, and watched the blue-uniformed policemen. They covered the backyard and could be seen bending low as they climbed around the woods. He could hear their voices, but couldn't make out what they were saying. Their faces were intent, bewildered. More policemen arrived, grim-faced, business-like, and then even more dark-uniformed policemen. Miss Walker had called her husband home from a golf game. They sat huddled together on a canvas chairs in the corner of the patio. They whispered to each other, their eyes darting across the yards. Holding hands, they looked pale and worried.
You know what? I know it's something R.L. Stine-y, you know, as per her disappearance, but you shouldn't be fucking golfing on your fucking young daughter's birthday. That's neglect. She's going to call into Loveline years later and be with some crazy, abusive, alcoholic guy. Some just dirty, drug addict guy who spends his Monday nights reading Goosebumps books into a microphone while drinking whiskey and Night Train.
Anyway, everyone else had left. On the patio, the table was still set. The birthday candles had all burned down. The blue and red wax melting in hard puddles on the pink and white icing, the cake untouched. No sign of her, a red-cheeked policeman with white blonde mustache was telling the walkers. He pulled off his cap and scratched his head, revealing short blonde hair. Did someone take her away? Mr. Walker asked, still holding his wife's hand. No sign of a struggle, the policeman said. No sign of anything, really. Miss Walker sighed loudly and lowered her head. I just don't understand it. There was a long, painful silence. We'll keep looking, the policeman said. I'm sure we'll find something. He turned and headed towards the wood. Oh, hi. He stopped in front of Greg, staring down at him as if seeing him for the first time. You're still here, son? All the other guests have gone home. He pushed his hair back and replaced his cap. Yeah, I know, Greg replied solemnly, lifting the camera into his lap. I'm Officer Riddick, he said. Yeah, I know, Greg repeated softly. How come you didn't come home after we talked with you, like the others? Riddick asked. I'm just upset, I guess, Greg told him. I mean, Sherry's a good friend, you know? He cleared his throat, which felt dry and tight. Besides, I live right over there. He gestured with his head to the house next door. Well, you might as well go home, son, Riddick said, turning his eyes to the woods with a frown. This search could take a long time. We haven't found a thing back there yet. I know, Greg replied, rubbing his hand against the back of the camera. And I know this camera is the reason Sherry is missing, he thought, feeling miserable and frightened. 1 minute she was there, the next minute she was gone, the policeman said, studying Greg's face as if looking for answers there. Yeah, Greg replied, it's so weird. It's weirder than anyone knows, Greg thought. The camera made her invisible. The camera did it. First, she vanished from the snapshot. Then, she vanished in real life. The camera did it to her. I don't know how, but it did. Do you have something more to tell me? Riddick asked, hands resting upon his hips, his right hand just above the worn brown holster that carried his pistol. Did you hear something? Did you see something? Something that might give us a clue? Help us out? Something you didn't remember telling us before? Should I tell him? Greg wondered. If I tell him about the camera, he'll ask where I got it. And I'll have to tell him that it was in the Kaufman house. And we'll all get in trouble for breaking in there. But big deal. Sherry's missing. Gone. Vanished. There's a lot more important. That's a lot more important. I should tell him, Greg decided. But then he hesitated. If I tell him, he won't believe me. If I tell him, how will it help bring Sherry back? You look very troubled, Riddick said, squatting down next to Greg in the shade. What's your name again? Greg. Greg Banks. Well, you look very troubled, Greg. Greg Banks, the policeman repeated softly. Why don't you tell me what's bothering you? Why don't you tell me what's in your mind? I think I could make you feel a lot better. Greg took a deep breath and glanced up at the patio. Miss Walker had covered her face with her hands. Her husband was leaning over her, trying to comfort her. Well, Greg started. Well, Greg started. Go ahead, son, Riddick urged softly. Do you know where Sherry is? It's this camera, Greg blurted out. He could suddenly feel the blood throbbing against his temples. He took a deep breath and then continued. You see, this camera is weird. What do you mean? Riddick asked quietly. Greg took another deep breath. I took Sherry's picture. Before, when I first arrived, I took two pictures, and she was invisible. In both of them, see? Riddick closed his eyes, then opened them. No, I don't understand. Sherry was invisible in the picture. Everything else was there, but she wasn't. She had vanished, see? And then, later, she vanished for real. The camera, it predicts the future, I guess, or it makes bad things happen. Greg raised the camera, attempting to hand it to the policeman. Riddick made no attempt to take it. He just stared hard at Greg, his eyes narrowing, his expression hardening. Greg felt a sudden stab of fear. Oh no, he thought. Why is he looking at me like that? What is he going to do? Chapter 19. Greg continued to hold the camera out to the policeman, but Riddick quickly climbed to his feet. The camera makes bad things happen. His eyes burned into Greg's. Yes, Greg told him. It isn't my camera, see? And every time I take a picture, son, that's enough. Riddick said gently. He reached down and rested a hand on Greg's trembling shoulder. I think you're very upset, Greg, he said, his voice almost a whisper. I don't blame you. This is very upset for everyone. This is very upsetting for everyone. But it's true, Greg started to insist. I'm going to ask that the officer over there, Riddick said, pointing, to take you home now. I'm going to have to tell your parents that you've been through a very frightening experience. I knew he wouldn't believe me, Greg thought angrily. How could I have been so stupid? Now he thinks I'm some sort of nutcase. Riddick called to a policeman at the side of the house near the hedge. No, that's okay, Greg said, quickly pulling himself up, cradling the camera in his hand. I can make it home okay. Riddick eyed him suspiciously. You sure? Yeah, I can walk by myself. If you have anything to tell me later, Riddick said, lowering his gaze to the camera, just call the station, okay? Okay, Greg replied, walking slowly towards the front of the house. Don't worry, Greg, we'll do our best, Riddick called after him. We'll find her, put the camera away, and try to get some rest, okay? Okay, Greg muttered. He hurried past the walkers, who were still huddled together under the umbrella on the patio. Why was I so stupid? He asked himself as he walked home. Why did I expect that policeman to believe such a weird story? I'm not even sure I believe it myself. A few minutes later, he pulled open the back screen door and entered his kitchen. Anybody home? No reply. He headed through the back hall towards the living room. Anyone home? No one. Terry was at work. His mother must have been visiting his dad in the hospital. Greg felt bad. He really didn't feel like being home alone now. He wanted to tell them about what happened to Sherry. He really wanted to talk to them. Still cradling the camera, he climbed the stairs to his room. He stopped in the doorway, blinked twice, then uttered a cry of horror. His books were scattered all over the floor. The covers had been pulled off his bed. His desk drawers were all open, their contents strewn around the room. The desk lamp was on the side on the floor. All his clothes had been pulled from the dresser in his closet, tossed everywhere. Someone had been in Greg's room and turned it upside down. Chapter fucking 20, bitch. Who would do this? Greg asked himself, staring in horror at his ransacked room. Who would tear my room apart like this? He realized that he knew the answer. He knew who would do it. He knew who had done it. Someone looking for the camera. Someone desperate to get the camera back. Spidey. The creepy guy who dressed all in black, who was living in the Kaufman house, was he the owner of the camera? Yes! Greg knew it! Spidey had done it! Spidey had been watching Greg, spying on Greg from behind the bleachers at the Little League game, and he knew Greg had his camera, and he knew where Greg lived. That was the most chilling of all. He knew where Greg lived! And Greg turned away from the chaos in his room, leaning against the wall of the hallway and closing his eyes. He pictured Spidey, the dark figure creeping along so evilly on his spindly legs. He pictured him inside the house, Greg's house, inside Greg's room. He was here, thought Greg. He pawed through all my things. He wrecked my room. Greg stepped back into his room. He felt all mixed up. He felt like shouting angrily and crying for help all at once. But he was all alone. No one to hear him. No one to help him. What now? He wondered. What now? Suddenly, leaning against the doorframe, staring at his ransacked room, he knew what he had to do. Chapter 21. Hey, Bird, it's me. Greg held the receiver in one hand and wiped the sweat off his forehead with the other. He'd never worked so hard or so fast in his life. Did they find Sherry? Bird asked eagerly. I haven't heard. I don't think so, Greg said, his eyes surveying his room, almost back to normal. He had put everything back, cleaned and straightened. His parents would never guess. Listen, Bird, I'm not calling about that, Greg said, speaking rapidly into the phone. Call Michael for me, okay? Meet me at the playground, by the baseball diamond. When? Now? Bird asked, sounding confused. Yeah, Greg told him. We have to meet. It's important. It's almost dinner time, Bird protested. I don't know if my parents... It's important, Greg repeated impatiently. I've got to see you guys, okay? Well, maybe I can sneak out for a few minutes, Bird said, lowering his voice. And then Greg heard him shout to his mother, It's no one, Mom! Talking to no one! Nice one, Bird. You're gonna do well when your parents find your weed when you're 14. Boy, that's quick thinking, Greg thought sarcastically. He's a worse liar than I am. And then he heard Bird call to his mom. I know I'm on the phone, but I'm not talking to anyone. It's only Craig. Ah, thanks a lot, pal, Greg thought. I gotta go, Bird said. Get Michael, okay? Greg urged. Yeah, okay, see ya. He hung up. Greg replaced the receiver and listened for his mother. Silence downstairs. She still wasn't home. She didn't know anything about Sherry, Greg realized. He knew she and his dad were going to be very upset. Very upset. Fucking upset. Almost as upset as he was. Thinking about his missing friend, he went to his bedroom and looked down on her yard next door. It was deserted now. The policemen had all left. Sherry's shaken parents must have gone inside. A squirrel sat under the wide shade of a big tree, gnawing furiously at an acorn, another acorn at his feet. In the corner of the window, Greg could see the birthday cake, still sitting forlornly on the deserted table. The place is set. The decoration still standing still. A birthday party for ghosts. Greg shuddered. Sherry is alive, he said aloud. They'll find her. She is alive. He knew what he had to do. Forcing himself away from the window, he hurried to meet his two friends. 22. No way. Bird said, heatedly, leaning against the bleacher bench. Have you gone totally bananas? Swinging the camera by its cord, Greg turned hopefully to Michael, but Michael avoided Greg's stare. I'm with Bird, he said, his eyes on the camera. Since it was just about dinner time, the playground was nearly deserted. A few little kids were on the swings at the other end. Two kids were riding their bikes around and around the soccer field. I thought maybe you guys would come with me, Greg said, disappointed. He kicked up a clump of grass with his sneaker. I have to return this thing, he continued, raising the camera. I know it's what I have to do. I have to put it back where I found it. No way, Bird repeated, shaking his head. I'm not going back to the Kaufman house. Once was enough. Chicken? Greg asked. Yeah, Bird quickly admitted like a little bitch. You don't have to take it back, Michael argued. He pulled himself up the side of the bleachers, climbing onto the third deck of seats, then lowered himself to the ground. What do you mean? Greg asked impatiently, kicking at the grass. Just toss it, Greg, Michael urged, making a throwing motion with one hand. Heave it, throw it in the trash somewhere. Yeah, or leave it right here, Bird suggested, reaching for the camera. Give it to me, I'll hide it under the seats. You don't understand, Greg said, swinging the camera out of Bird's reach. Throwing it away won't do any good. Why not? Bert asked, making another swipe for the camera. Spidey'll just come back for it, Greg told him heatedly. He'll come back to my room looking for it. He'll come after me. I know it. But what if you get caught taking it back? Michael asked. Yeah, what if Spidey's there in the Kaufman house and he catches us? Bird said. You don't understand, Greg cried. He knows where I live. He was in my house. He was in my room. He wants the camera back and... Here, give it to me, Bird said. We don't have to go back to the house. He can find it right here. He grabbed for the camera. Greg held tightly to the strap and tried to tug it away, but Bird grabbed the side of the camera. No, Greg cried out loud as it flashed in word. A square of film slid out. No! Greg cried to Bird, horrified, staring at the white squares it developed. You took my picture! His hand trembled. He pulled the snapshot from the camera. What would it show? Chapter Date Supplemental 23. Sorry, Bird said. I didn't mean to... Before he could finish his sentence, a voice interrupted from behind the bleachers. Hey, what do you got there? Greg looked up from the developing snapshot in surprise. Two tough-looking boys stepped out of the shadows, their expressions hard, their eyes in the camera. Could it have been Crash Kickflip and Tough Guy Dangerous from the most badass group on the planet? Youth Focus Marketing Group, YFMG in the house, motherfuck face, eat your vegetables, fuck no! Whoop whoop! Their specialty was taking kids' bikes, riding off on them, and dumping them somewhere. There was a rumor around school that Mickey had once beaten up a kid so badly that the kid was crippled for life, but Greg believed Mickey made up that rumor himself. Both boys were big for their age. Neither of them did well in school, and even though they were always stealing bikes and skateboards and terrorizing little kids and getting into fights, neither of them ever seemed to get into serious trouble. Joey had short blonde hair, slick straight up, and wore diamond-like stud in one ear. Mickey had a round red face full of pimples, stringy black hair down to his shoulders, and was working a toothpick between his teeth. Both boys were wearing heavy metal t-shirts and jeans. Hey, I gotta get home, Bird said quickly, half-stepping, half-dancing away from the bleachers. Me too, Michael said, unable to keep the fear from his showing on his face. Greg tucked the snapshot into his jeans pocket. Hey, you found my camera, Joey said, grabbing it out of Greg's hand. His eyes, small and gray, burned into Greg as if searching for a reaction. Thanks, man. Give it back, Joey, Greg said with a sigh. Yeah, don't take that camera, Mickey told his friend and smiled, a smile spreading over his face. It's mine. He wrestled the camera away from Joey. Give it back, Greg insisted angrily, reaching out his hand. And then he softened his tone. Come on, guys, it's mine. I know it isn't yours, Mickey said, grinning, because it's mine. I have to give it back to the owner, Greg told him, trying not to whine, but hearing his voice edge up. No, you don't. I'm the owner now, Mickey insisted. Have you ever heard of finders keepers? Joey asked, leaning over Greg menacingly. He was about 6 inches taller than Greg, and a lot more muscular. Hey, let me have the thing, Michael whispered in Greg's ear. You wanted to get rid of it, right? No, Greg protested. What's your problem? Freckle face? Joey asked Michael, eyeing Michael up and down. No problem, Michael said meekly. Hey, say cheese. Mickey aimed the camera at Joey. Don't do it, Bert interrupted, waving his hands frantically. Why not? Joey demanded. Because your face will break the camera, Bert said, laughing. You're real funny, Joey said sarcastically, narrowing his eyes threateningly, hardening his features. You want that stupid smile to be permanent? He raised his fist. I know this kid, Mickey told Joey, pointing at Bird. Thinks he's hot shit. Both boys stared hard at Bird, trying to scare him. Bird swallowed hard. He took a step back, bumping into the bleachers. No, I don't, he said softly. I don't think I'm hot shit. He looks like something I stepped in yesterday, Joey said. He and Mickey cracked up, laughing like high-pitched hyenas, slapping each other high fives. Listen, guys, I really need the camera back, Greg said, reaching out a hand to take it. It isn't any good anyway. It's broken, and it doesn't belong to me. Yeah, that's right. It's broken, Michael added, nodding his head. Yeah, right, Mickey said sarcastically. Let's just see. He raised the camera again and pointed it at Joey. Really, guys, I need it back, Greg said desperately. If they took a picture with the camera, Greg realized they might discover its secret, that its snapshot showed the future, showing only bad things that happen to people, that the camera was evil. Maybe it even caused evil. Say cheese, Mickey instructed Joey like the title of the book. Just snap the stupid thing, Joey replied impatiently. No, Greg thought. I can't let this happen. I've got to return this camera to the Kaufman house, to Spidey. Impulsively, Greg leapt forward. With a cry, he snatched the camera away from Mickey's face. Hey! Mickey reacted in surprise. Let's go! Greg shouted to Bird Michael, and without another word, the three friends turned and began running across the deserted playground towards their homes. His heart thudding in his chest, Greg gripped the camera tightly and ran as fast as he could, his sneakers pounding over the dry grass. They're going to catch us, Greg thought, panting loudly now as he raced towards the street. They're going to catch us and pound us. They're going to take back the camera. We're dead meat. Dead meat. Greg and his friends didn't turn around until they were across the street. Breathing noisily, they looked back and cried out in relieved surprise. Joey and Mickey hadn't budged from beside the bleachers. They hadn't chased after them. They were leaning against the bleachers, laughing. Catch you guys later, Joey called after them. Yeah, later, Mickey replied. They both burst out laughing again, as if they said something hilarious. That was close, Michael said, still breathing hard. They mean it, Bird said, looking very troubled. They will catch us later. We're history. Tough talk. They're just a lot of hot air, Greg insisted. Oh, yeah, Michael cried. Then why do we just run like that? Because we're late for dinner, Bird jokes. See you guys. I'm going to catch it if I don't hurry. Let me see. I just pulled the mic cord. I want to see if I pulled it out and I'll grab a drink. All right. Mic cord's good to go. Because we're late for dinner, Bird joked. See you guys. I'm going to catch it if I don't hurry. But the camera, Greg protested. Still gripping it tight in one hand. It's too late, Michael said, nervously raking a hand back through his red hair. Yeah, we'll have to do it tomorrow or something, Bert agreed. Then you guys will come with me? Greg asked eagerly. I gotta go, Bird said without answering. Me too, Michael said quickly, avoiding Greg's stare. All three of them turned their eyes back to the playground. Joey and Mickey had disappeared, probably off to terrorize some other kids. Later, Bird said, slapping Greg on the shoulder as he headed away. The three friends split up, running in different directions across lawns and driveways, heading home. Greg had run all the way to his front yard before remembering the snapshot he had shoved into his jeans pocket. He stopped at the driveway and pulled it out. The sun was lowering behind the garage. He held the snapshot up to his face to see it clearly. Oh no! He cried. I don't believe it! Like a little bitch. Seriously, on the shirts for Dune Reads Goosebumps, which you guys are going to print yourself and then give me one, just going to say, Dune Reads Goosebumps, and then a picture of me just looking fucking hot, just nude, rocking Mandy's, bottle of Night Train, pupils dilated, and it's just going to say, Dune Reads Goosebumps, like a little bitch. Anyway, chapter 24. This is impossible, Greg cried aloud, gaping at the snapshot in his trembling hand. How had Sherry gotten into the photo? It had been a few minutes before in front of the bleachers in the playground. It had been taken a few minutes before in the bleachers in the playground, but there was Sherry standing close behind Greg, his hand trembling, his mouth hanging open in disbelief. Greg goggled at the photo. It was very clear, very sharp. There they were on the playground. He could see the baseball diamond in the background, and there they were, Greg and Sherry. Sherry standing so clear, so sharp, right next to him. And they were both staring straight ahead, their eyes wide, their mouths open, their expression frozen in horror as a large shadow covered both of them. Sherry! Greg cried, lowering the snapshot and darting his eyes over the front yard. Are you here? Can you hear me? He listened. Silence. He tried again. Sherry, are you here? Greg! A voice called. Uttering a startling cry, Greg spun around. Huh? Greg, the voice repeated. It took him a while to realize that it was his mother, calling him from the front door. Oh, hi, Mom. Feeling dazed, he slid the snapshot back into his jeans pocket. Where have you been? His mother asked as he made his way to the door. I heard about Sherry. I've been so upset. I didn't know where you were. Sorry, Mom, Greg said, kissing her on the cheek. I should have left a note. He stepped into the house, feeling strange and out of sorts, sad, confused, and frightened all at the same time. 2 days later, on a day of high gray clouds, the air hot and smoggy, Greg paced back and forth in his room after school. The house was empty except for him. Terry had gone off for a few hours before his after-school job at Dairy Freeze. Mrs. Banks had driven to the hospital to pick up Greg's dad, who was finally coming home. Greg knew he should be happy about his dad's return, but there were still too many things troubling him, tugging at his mind, frightening him. For one thing, Sherry still hadn't been found. The police were completely baffled. Their new theory was that she had been kidnapped. Her frantic, grieving parents waited home by the phone, but no kidnappers called to demand a ransom. There were no clues of any kind, nothing to do but wait and hope. As the days passed, Greg felt more and more guilty. He was sure Sherry hadn't been kidnapped. He knew that somehow the camera had made her disappear. But he couldn't tell anyone else what he believed. No one would believe him. Anyone who he tried to tell the story to would think he was crazy. Cameras can't be evil, after all. Cameras can't make people fall downstairs, or crash their cars, or vanish from sight. Cameras can only record what they see. Greg stared out of his window, pressing his forehead against the glass, looking down on Sherry's backyard. Sherry, where are you? He asked out loud, staring at the tree where she had posed. The camera was still hidden in the secret compartment in his headboard. Neither Bird nor Michael would agree to help Greg return to the Kaufman house. Besides, Greg had decided to hold on to it a while longer, in case he needed proof, in case he decided to confide his fears about it to someone, in case. His other fear was that Spidey would come back. Back to Greg's room, back for the camera. So much to be frightened about. He pushed himself away from the window. He had spent so much time in the past couple days staring down at Sherry's empty backyard, thinking. With a sigh, he reached into the headboard and pulled out two snapshots he had hidden in there along with the camera. The two snapshots were then taken the past Saturday at Sherry's birthday party. Holding one in each hand, Greg stared at them, hoping he could see something new, something he hadn't noticed before. But the photos hadn't changed. They still showed her tree, her backyard, green in sunlight, and no Sherry, no one where Sherry had been standing. As if the lens had penetrated right through her, staring at the photos, Greg let out a cry of anguish. If only he had never gone to the Kaufman house. If only he had never stolen the camera. If only he had never taken any photos with it. If only. If only. Dear God, this is starting to sound like some Live Journal poetry. We had one paragraph that was just thinking, period. And then one that's, if only ellipses. Ellipsis? Ellipses. If only ellipses. If only. Before he realized what he was doing, he was ripping the two snapshots into tiny pieces, panting loudly, his chest heaving. He tore at the snapshots and let the pieces fall to the floor. When he had ripped both of them into tiny bits of paper, he flung himself face down on the bed and closed his eyes, waiting for his heart to stop pounding, waiting for the heavy feeling of guilt and horror to lift. 2 hours later, the phone by his bed rang. It was Sherry. Oh my God, this is some intense stuff. I'm excited to keep reading. Are you excited? I'm excited. Franklin, are you excited? No, he's annoyed. Anyway, chapter 25. Sherry, is it really you? Greg shouted in the phone. Yeah, it's me. She sounded as surprised as he did. But how? I mean, his mind is racing. He didn't know what to say. Your guess is as good as mine, Sherry told him. Then she said, hold on a minute. And he heard her step away from the phone to talk to her mother. Mom, stop crying already. Mom, it's really me. I'm home. A few seconds later, she came back on the line. I've been here for 2 hours. Mom's still crying and carrying on. I feel like crying too, Greg admitted like a little bitch. I just can't believe it. Sherry, where were you? The line was silent for a moment. I don't know, she finally answered. Huh? I really don't. It was so weird, Greg. One minute, there I was at my birthday party. The next minute, I was standing in front of my house, and it was 2 days later. But I don't remember being away or being anywhere else. I don't remember anything at all. You don't remember going away or coming back? Greg asked.
No,
nothing, Sherry said, her voice trembling. Sherry, those pictures I took of you, remember? With the weird camera, you were invisible in them.
And then I disappeared, she said, finishing his thought.
Sherry, do you think? I don't know, she replied quickly. I have to get off now. The police are here. They want to question me. What am I going to tell them? They're going to think I have amnesia or I flipped out or something. I don't know, Greg said, completely bewildered.
We have to talk. The camera, I can't now, she told him. Maybe tomorrow, okay?
She called to her mother that she was coming. Bye, Greg. See you. And then she hung up. Greg replaced the receiver, but sat on the edge of his bed staring at the phone for a long time. Sherry was back. She had been back for about 2 hours.
2 hours.
2 hours. 2 hours. Fucking LiveJournal. Do people still use LiveJournal? I guess they have to. It's mostly in Russia, if you look at the random image generator. Russians love LiveJournal, you know? I have a Facebook. Ever heard of it? Okay. All right. Whatever.
2 hours. He turned his eyes to the clock radio beside the phone. Just 2 hours before he had ripped up the two snapshots of an invisible Sherry, his mind whirred with ideas, insane ideas. Had he brought Sherry back by ripping up the photos? Did this mean the camera caused her to disappear? Did the camera cause all the terrible things that showed up in the snapshots?
Greg stared at the phone for a long time, thinking hard. He knew what he had to do. He had to talk to Sherry. He had to return the camera.
Aw, you know what I want right now? There's this place off Miramar Road, or on Miramar Road, that...
This is an aside. This isn't in the story. That has this incredible barbecue chicken, a little bit of steamed rice, these wontons, and then some, like, fried chicken... Or, no, it's the barbecue pork nut chicken. Oh my god, it's so amazing.
I'm gonna get some of that.
Yeah, you don't have any fucking money. But dear god, that place is amazing. Oh god, I want to eat that so bad. Just barbecue chicken. Pork. God damn it, barbecue pork. Ah, fuck, why am I ruining this?
He met Sherry on the playground the next afternoon. The sun floated high in the cloudless sky. 8 or 9 kids were engaged in a noisy brawl of a soccer game, running one way, then across the outfield of the baseball diamond.
Hey, you look like you, Greg exclaimed as Sherry came jogging up to where he stood behind the bleachers.
He pinched her arm. Hey, it's you.
Oh, okay, she smiled. I feel fine, she told him, rubbing her arm, just confused and tired.
The police asked me questions for hours, and they finally went away. My parents started in.
Sorry, Greg said quietly, staring down at his sneakers.
I think Mom and Dad believe somehow it's my fault that I disappeared, Sherry said, resting her back against the side of the bleachers, shaking her head.
It's the camera's fault, Greg muttered. He raised his eyes to hers.
The camera is evil, Sherry shrugged.
Maybe. I don't know what to think. I really don't. He showed her the snapshot, the one showing the two of them on the playground, staring in horror as a shadow crept over them.
How weird, Sherry exclaimed, studying it hard. I want to take the camera back to the Kaufman house, he said heatedly.
I can go home and get it now. Will you help me? Will you come with me?
Sherry started to reply, but stopped. They both saw the dark shadow move, sliding toward them quickly, silently over the grass.
Oh my god, it might be the Borg!
Resistance is futile.
And then they saw the man dressed in all black, his spindly legs pumping hard as he came at them.
Spidey! Greg grabbed at Sherry's hand, frozen in fear. He and Sherry gaped in terror as Spidey's slithering shadow crept over them.
Woo! All right.
This is chapter 26 of Say Cheese and Die, Dune Reads Goosebumps, number 8. I hate my life.
Greg had a shudder of recognition. He knew the snapshot had just come true. As a dark figure of Spidey moved towards them like a black tarantula, Greg pulled Sherry's hand.
Run!
run!" he cried in a shrill voice he didn't recognize. He didn't have to say it. They were both running now, gasping as they ran across the grass towards the street. Their sneakers thudded loudly on the ground as they reached the sidewalk and kept running. Greg turned to see Spidey closing the gap. "He's catching up!" he managed to cry to Sherry, who was just a few steps ahead of him. Spidey, his face still hidden in the shadow of his black baseball cap, moved with startling speed, his long legs kicking high as he pursued them. "He's going to catch us!" Greg cried, feeling as if his chest were about to burst. "He's too fast!" Spidey moved even closer, his shadow scuttling over the grass. Closer. When the car horn honked, Greg screamed. He and Sherry stopped short. The horn blasted again. Greg turned to see a familiar young man inside the small hatchback. "Someone's coming down the stairs at my apartment. Maybe it's Spidey. Or maybe it's the Hispanic man that lives upstairs that doesn't speak English. I'm gonna stay quiet for a second or two. Shh." Greg turned to see a young man inside a small hatchback. It was Jerry Norman, who lived across the street. Jerry lowered his car. "Is this man chasing you?" he asked excitedly. Without waiting for an answer, he backed his car towards Spidey. "I'm calling the cops, mister." Spidey didn't reply. Instead, he turned and darted across the street. "I'm warning you," Jerry called after him, but Spidey had disappeared behind a tall hedge. "Are you kids okay?" Greg's neighbor demanded. "Yeah, fine," Greg managed to reply, still breathing hard, his chest heaving. "We're okay. Thanks, Jerry," Sherry said. "I've seen that guy around the neighborhood," the young man said, staring through the windshield at the tall hedge. "Never thought he was dangerous. You kids want me to call the police?" "No, it's okay," Greg replied. "As soon as I give him back his camera, he'll stop chasing us," Greg thought. "Well, be careful, okay?" Sherry said. "You need a lift home or anything?" He studied their faces as if trying to determine how frightened and upset they were. Greg and Sherry both shook their heads. "We'll be okay," Greg said. "Thanks." Jerry warned them once again to be careful, then drove off, his tires squealing as he turned the corner. "That was close," Sherry said, her eyes on the hedge. "Why was Spidey chasing us?" "He thought I had the camera. He wants it back," Greg told her. "Meet me tomorrow, okay? In front of the Kaufman house. Help me put it back." Sherry stared at him without replying, her expression thoughtful, wary. "We're going to be in danger, all of us, until we put the camera back," Greg insisted. "Okay," Sherry said quietly. "Tomorrow." The place is called Chung Hing in Mira Mesa, or Miramar. It is incredible. I really want some barbecue pork. And I can hear someone else outside. This is spooky. Franklin, what do you think?
He thinks I should stop yelling things and let him sleep. Chapter 21. Oh, wait, 27. I can't read well. Why am I doing this?
Something scurried through the tall weeds of the unmowed front lawn. "What was that?" Sherry cried, whispering, even though no one else was in sight. It was too big to be a squirrel. She lingered behind Greg, who stopped to look up at the Kaufman house. "Maybe it was a raccoon or something," Greg told her.
"Wait, there's someone outside. I'm going to stop."
Okay, there was no one outside, but it is now April 7th. I ended up walking outside and just saying fuck it, just walking the extra couple steps to Fred's house. And then yesterday I was working on a review of My Neighbor Totoro for comicsonline.com. Anyway, so now we're back to it. "Maybe it was a raccoon or something," Greg told her. He gripped the camera tightly in both hands. It was a little after 3 o'clock the next afternoon, a hazy, overcast day. Mountains of dark clouds, threatening rain, were rolling across the sky, stretching behind the house, casting it in a shadow. "It's going to storm," Sherry said, staying close behind Greg. Let's get this over with and go home." "Good idea," he said, glancing up at the heavy sky. Thunder rumbled in the distance, a low roar. The old trees that dotted the front yard whispered and shook. "We can't just run inside," Greg told her, watching the sky darken. "First, we have to make sure Spidey isn't there."
Making their way quickly through the tall grass and weeds, they stopped at the living room window and peered in. Thunder rumbled low and long in the distance. Greg thought he saw another creature scuttle through the weeds around the corner of the house. "It's too dark in here. I can't see a thing," Sherry complained. "Let's check out the basement," Greg suggested. "That's where Spidey hangs out, remember?" The sky darkened to an eerie gray-green as they made their way to the back of the house and dropped to their knees to peer down through the basement window at ground level. Squinting through the dust-covered window panes, they could see the makeshift plywood table Spidey had made, the wardrobe against the walls, its door still open, the colorful old clothing spilling out, the empty frozen food boxes scattered on the floor. "No sign of him," Greg whispered, cradling the camera in his arm as if it might try to escape from him if he didn't hold it tightly. "Let's get moving."
Are you sure?" Sherry stammered. She wanted to be brave, but the thought that she had disappeared for 2 days, completely vanished, most likely because of the camera, that frightening thought lingered in her mind. Michael and Bird were chicken, she thought. Maybe they were the smart ones.
She wished this were over, all over. A few seconds later, Greg and Sherry pushed open the front door. They stepped into the darkness of the front hall and stopped and listened. They both jumped at the sound of the loud, sudden crash directly behind them. 28.
Chapter 28.
Sherry was the first one to regain her voice. "It's just the door," she cried. "The wind..." A gust of wind had made the front door slam. "Let's get this over with," Greg whispered, badly shaken. "We never should have broken into this house in the first place," Sherry whispered.
"We never should have broken into the house in the first place,"
Sherry whispered, as they made their way on tiptoe, step by creaking step, down the dark hallway toward the basement stairs. "It's a little late for that," Greg replied sharply, pulling open the door to the basement. Oh, wait, sorry, wrong book. Basement steps. He stopped again. "What's that banging sound upstairs?" Sherry's features tightened in fear as she heard it too, a repeated, almost rhythmic banging. "Shutters?" Greg suggested. "Yeah," she quickly agreed, breathing a sigh of relief. "A lot of shutters are loose, remember?" The entire house seemed to groan. Thunder rumbled outside closer now. They stepped onto the landing, then waited for their eyes to adjust to the darkness. "Couldn't we just leave the camera up here and run?" Sherry asked, more of a plea than a question. "No, I want to put it back," Greg insisted. "But Greg," she tugged at his arm as he started down the stairs. "No," he pulled out of her grasp. "He was in my room, Sherry. He tore everything apart looking for it. I want him to find it where it belongs. If he doesn't find it, he'll come back to my house. I know he will." Okay, let's just hurry." It was brighter in the basement. Gray light seeped down from the four ground-level windows. Outside, the wind swirled and pushed against the window pane. A pale flash of lightning made shadows flicker against the basement wall. The old house groaned as if unhappy about the storm. "What was that? Footsteps?" Sherry stopped halfway across the basement to listen. "It's just the house," Greg insisted, but his quivering voice revealed that he was as frightened as his companion, and he stopped to listen too. Bang, bang, bang. "She moves, she moves!" Like the Ricky Martin song, or like William Hung. Yeah, remember William Hung? Not even William Hung remembers William Hung. You know, sorry, man. A miracle just eat you up, chew you out, and then chew you and spit you. Fuck! God damn it, I'm not even going back. I'm just going to keep recording. I'm an idiot. I ruined this. Bang, bang, bang! The shutter high above them continued its rhythmic pounding. "Where did you find that camera anyway?" Sherry whispered, following Greg to the far wall across from the enormous furnace, with its cobweb ducts sprouting up like pale palm trees. "Over here," Greg told her. He stepped up to the work table and reached for the vise clamp on the edge. "When I turned the vise, a door opened up. Some kind of hidden shelf. That's where the camera..." He cranked the handle of the vase. Once again, the door to the secret shelf popped open.
Good, he whispered excitedly. He flashed Sherry a smile. She flashed him her tits. He shoved the camera into the shelf, tucking the carrying strap under it. Then he pushed the door closed. We're out of here. He felt so much better, so relieved, so much lighter. The house groaned and creaked. Greg didn't care. Another flash of lightning, brighter this time, like a camera flash, sent shadows flickering on the wall. Come on, he whispered. But Sherry was already ahead of him, making her way carefully over the food cart and strewn everywhere, hurrying toward the steps. They were halfway up the stairs, Greg one step behind Sherry, when, above them, Spidey stepped silently into view on the landing, blocking their escape.
I think my fervor at the end right there made up for my muttering about William Hung and, you know, getting sayings wrong.
Chapter 29.
Greg blinked and shook his head, as if he could shake away the image of the figure that stared darkly down at him.
No!
Sherry cried out and fell back against Greg. He grabbed for the railing, forgetting that it had fallen under Michael's weight during their first unfortunate visit to the house. Luckily, Sherry regained her balance before toppling them both down the stairs. Lightning flashed behind them, sending a flash of white light across the stairway. But the unmoving figure on the landing above them remained shrouded in darkness. Let us go, Greg finally managed to cry, finding his voice. Yeah, we returned your camera, Sherry added, sounding shrill and frightened. Spidey didn't reply. Instead, he took a step down towards them, onto the first step, and then he descended another step. Nearly stumbling again, Greg and Sherry backed down to the basement floor. The wooden stairs squeaked in protest as the dark figure stepped slowly, steadily down. As he reached the basement floor, a crackling bolt of lightning cast a blue light over him, and Greg and Sherry saw his face for the first time. In the brief flash of color, they saw that he was old, older than they had imagined, that his eyes were small and round like dark marbles, that his mouth was small too, pursed in a tight, menacing grimace. We returned the camera, Sherry said, staring in fear at Spidey as he crept closer. Can't we go now, please?
Let me see.
His voice was younger than his face. Warmer than his... Let me see, Spidey said. His voice was younger than his face, warmer than his eyes. Come. They hesitated, but he gave them no choice, ushering them back across the cluttered floor to the work table. He wrapped his large, spidery hand over the vise and turned the handle. The door opened. He pulled out the camera and held it close to his face to examine it. You shouldn't have taken it, he told them, speaking softly, turning the camera in his hands. We're sorry, Sherry said quickly. Can we go now? Greg asked, edging towards the stair. It's not an ordinary camera, Spidey said, raising his small eyes to them. We know, Greg blurted out. The pictures it took, they... Spidey's eyes grew wide, his expression angry. You took pictures with it? Just a few, Greg told him, wishing he kept his mouth shut. They didn't really come out. They didn't, really. You know about the camera, then, Spidey said, moving quickly to the center of the floor. Was he trying to block their escape? Greg wondered. It's broken or something, Greg said uncertainly, shoving his hand into his jeans pocket. It's not broken, the tall, dark figure said softly. It's evil. He motioned towards the low plywood table. Sit here. Greg and Sherry exchanged glances. Then, reluctantly, they sat down on the edge of the board, sitting stiffly, nervously, their eyes darting toward the stairway, towards escape. The camera is evil, Spidey repeated, standing over them, holding the camera in both hands. I should know. I helped create it. You're an inventor? Greg asked, glancing at Sherry, who was nervously tugging at a strand of her black hair. I'm a scientist, Spidey replied. Or should I say, I was a scientist. My name is Fredericks, Dr. Fritz Fredericks. He transferred the camera from one hand to the other. My lab partner invented this camera. It was his pride and joy. More than that, it would have made him a fortune. Would have, I say. He paused, a thoughtful expression sinking over his face. What happened to him? Did he die? Sherry asked, still fiddling with the strand of hair. Dr. Frederick snickered. No. Worse, I stole the invention from him. I stole the plans and the camera. I was evil, you see. I was young and greedy. So very greedy. And I wasn't above stealing to make my fortune. He paused, eyeing both of them as if waiting for them to say something, to offer their disapproval of him, perhaps. But when Greg and Sherry remained silent, staring up at him from the low plywood table, he continued his story. When I stole the camera, it caught my partner by surprise. Unfortunately, from then on, all the surprises were mine. A strange, sad smile twisted across his aged face. My partner, you see, was much more evil than I was. Dr. Fredericks coughed into his hand, then began to pace in front of Greg and Sherry as he talked, speaking softly, slowly, as if remembering the story for the first time in a long while. My partner was a true evil one. He dabbled in the dark arts. I should correct myself. He didn't just dabble. He was quite a master of it all. He held up the camera, waving it above his head, then lowering it. My partner put a curse on this camera. If he couldn't profit from it, he wanted to make sure that I would never either. And so he put a curse on it. He turned his gaze on Greg, leaning over him. Do you know about how some primitive people fear the camera? They fear the camera because they believe that if it takes their picture, it will steal their soul. He patted the camera. Well, this camera really does steal souls. Staring up at the camera, Greg shuddered. The camera had stolen Sherry away. Would it have stolen all their souls? People have died because of this camera, Dr. Frederick said, uttering a slow, sad sigh. People close to me. That is how I came to learn of the curse, to learn of the camera's evil, and then I learned something just as frightening. The camera cannot be destroyed. He coughed, clearing his throat noisily, and began to pace in front of them. And so I vowed to keep the camera a secret, to keep it away from people so it can't do its evil. I lost my job, my family, I lost everything because of it, but I am determined to keep the camera where it can do no harm. He stood pacing with his back towards them. He stood silently, shoulders hunched, lost in thought. Greg quickly climbed to his feet and motioned for Sherry to do the same. Well, I guess it's good we returned it, he said hesitantly. Sorry we caused so much trouble. Yeah, we're very sorry, Sherry repeated sincerely. Guess it's back to the right hands. Goodbye, Greg said, starting towards the steps. It's getting late, and we... No, Dr. Frederick shouted, startling them both. He moved quickly to block the way. I'm afraid you can't go. You know too much. Chapter 30. I can never let you leave, Dr. Frederick said, his face flickering in the blue glow of a lightning flash. He crossed his bony arms in front of his black sweatshirt. But we won't tell anyone, Greg said, his voice rising until the words became a plea. Really? Your secret is good with us, Sherry insisted, her frightening eyes on Greg. Dr. Frederick stared at them menacingly, but didn't reply. You can trust us, Greg said, his voice quivering. He cast a frightened glance at Sherry. Besides, Sherry said, even if we did tell anyone, who would believe us? Enough talk, Dr. Frederick snapped. It won't do you any good. I've worked too long and too hard to keep this camera a secret. A rush of wind pushed against the windows, sending up a low howl. The wind carried a drum roll of rain. The sky through the basement windows was as black as night. You can't keep us here forever! Sherry cried, unable to keep the growing terror in her voice. The rain pounded against the windows now, a steady downpour. Dr. Fredericks drew himself up straight, seemed to grow taller. His tiny eyes burned into Sherry. I'm so sorry, he said, his voice a whisper of regret. So sorry, but I have no choice. He took another step towards them. Greg and Sherry exchanged frightened glances. From where they stood, in front of the low plywood table in the center of the basement, the steps seemed 100 miles away. What are you going to do? Greg cried, shouting over a burst of thunder that rattled the basement windows. Please, Sherry begged, don't!
Dr. Fredericks moved forward with surprising speed. Holding the camera in one hand, he grabbed Greg's shoulders with the other. No! Greg screamed. Let go! Let go of him! Sherry screamed. She suddenly realized that both Dr. Fredericks' hands were occupied. This may be my only chance, she thought. She took a deep breath and lunged forward. Dr. Fredericks' eyes bulged, and he cried out in surprise as Sherry grabbed the camera with both hands and pulled it away from him. He made a frantic grab for the camera, and Greg burst free. Before the desperate man could take another step, Sherry raised the camera to her eye and pointed the lens at him. Please, no! Don't push the button! The old man cried. He lurched forward, his eyes wide, and he grabbed the camera with both hands. Greg stared in horror as Sherry and Dr. Fredericks grappled, both hands on the camera, each trying desperately to wrestle it away from each other. Flash! The bright burst of light startled all of them. Sherry grabbed the camera. Run! She screamed. Chapter 31. The final chapter of Say Cheese and Die. The basement became a whirring blur of grays and blacks as Greg hurtled himself towards the stairs. He and Sherry ran side by side, slipping over the food cartons, jumping over tin cans and empty bottles. Rain thundered against the windows. The wind howled, pushing against the glass. They could hear Dr. Frederick's anguished screams behind them. "Did you take our picture or his?" Sherry asked. I don't know. Just hurry!" Greg screamed. The old man was howling like a wounded animal, his cries competing with the rain and wind pushing at the windows. The stairs weren't far away, but it seemed to take forever to reach them. Forever. Forever, Greg thought. Dr. Fredericks wanted to keep Sherry and him down there forever. Panting loudly, they both reached the dark stairway. A deafening clap of thunder made them stop and turn around. Huh? Greg cried aloud. To his shock, Dr. Fredericks hadn't chased after them, and his anguished cries had stopped. The basement was silent. What's going on? Sherry cried breathlessly. Squinting back in the darkness, it took Greg a while to realize that the dark, rumpled form lying on the floor in front of the work table was Dr. Fredericks. What happened? Sherry cried, her chest heaving as she struggled to catch her breath. Still clinging to the camera strap, she gaped in surprise at the old man's still body sprawled on its back on the floor. I don't know, Greg replied in a breathless whisper. Reluctantly, Greg started back towards Dr. Fredericks. Following close behind, Sherry uttered a low cry of horror when she clearly saw the fallen man's face. Eyes bulged out, the mouth open in a twisted O of terror. The face stared up at them. Frozen. Dead. Dr. Fredericks was dead. What happened? Sherry finally managed to say, swallowing hard, forcing herself to turn away from the ghastly, tortured face. I think he died of fright, Greg replied, squeezing her shoulder, not even realizing it. Huh? Fright? He knew better than anyone what the camera could do, Greg said. When you snapped the picture, I think it scared him to death. I only wanted to throw him off guard, Sherry said. I only wanted to give us a chance to escape. I didn't think... The picture, Greg interrupted. Let's see the picture. Sherry raised the camera. The photo was still half inside the camera. Greg pulled it out with a trembling hand. He held it up so they both could see it. Wow, he exclaimed quietly. Wow. The photo showed Dr. Fredericks lying on the floor, his eyes bulging, his mouth frozen open in horror. Dr. Frederick's fright, Greg realized, the fright that had killed him was there, frozen on film, frozen on his face. The camera had claimed another victim, this time forever. What do we do now? Sherry asked, staring down at the figure sprawled at her feet. First, I'm putting this camera back, Greg said, taking it from her and shoving it back in its shelf. He turned the vice handle and the door to the secret compartment closed. Greg breathed a heavy sigh of relief. It wasn't even heavy, it was just a sigh of relief, sorry. Hiding the dreadful camera away made him feel so much better. Now, let's get home and call the police, he said. 2 days later, a cool, bright day with a gentle breeze rustling the trees, the four friends stopped at the curb, leaning on their bikes and staring up at the Kaufman house. Even in bright sunlight, the old trees that surrounded the house covered it in a shade. So, you didn't tell the police about the camera?
Bert asked, staring up at the dark, empty front window. No, they wouldn't believe me, Greg told him. Beside, the camera should stay locked up forever. Forever! I hope no one ever finds out about it. We told the police we ran into the house to get out of the rain, Sherry added. And we said we started to explore while we waited for the storm to blow over, and we found a body in the basement. What did Spidey die of? Michael asked, gazing up at the house. The police said it was heart failure, Greg told him, but we know the truth. Wow, I can't believe one old camera could do so much evil, Bird said.
I believe it, Greg said quietly. Let's get out of here, Michael urged. He raised his sneakers to the pedals and started to roll away. This place really creeps me out.
The other three followed, pedaling away in thoughtful silence. They had turned the corner and were heading up the next block when two figures emerged from the back door of the Kaufman house. Joey Ferris and Mickey Ward stepped over the weed-choked lawn onto the driveway.
Those jerks aren't too bright, Joey told his companion. They never even saw us the other day. Never saw us watching them through the basement window.
Mickey laughed. Yeah, they're jerks. They couldn't hide this camera from us.
No way, man, Joey said, raising the camera and examining it.
Take my picture, Mickey demanded. Come on, let's try it out.
Yeah, okay.
Joey raised the viewfinder to his eye. Say cheese. A click. A flash. A whirring sound. Joey pulled the snapshot from the camera, and both boys eagerly huddled around it, waiting to see what developed.
Whew, the end! That was Say Cheese and Die at the end of the old Dune Reads Goosebumps. Once again, I'm Dune, and, you know, I don't know how I'm going to get these out there, but I'll keep making them. It's a lot of time, a lot of effort, no money, questionably legal, but, you know, someone has to record bootleg audiobooks of R.L. Stine's Goosebumps series, you know?
No, I guess they don't, but I'm gonna.
Stay spooky, bitches!